UTC right after the international news.
Stand up! Stand up! Stand up! Stand up!
Friends, we can all listen to the Sunny Side of Sports.
Great show, bro. This is Sunny Side of Sports.
Right here on the Voice of America.
Voice of America!
This is Prince Nesta from Nairobi, Kenya, sitting in for Sunny Yang in Washington. Welcome to the September 22nd edition of the Sunny Side of Sports. Let's kick off in the world of volleyball. The Rwanda Investigation Bureau has arrested a top Volleyball Federation official over a scandal in which Rwanda's women's team was disqualified from this month's 2021 tournament of the African Volleyball Confederation, or CAVB. The event took place from the 12th to the 20th of September. Nigeria had claimed that Rwanda fielded four ineligible Brazilian players. Agent Uwimana has the details from Rwanda's capital, Kigali. Sporty greetings, Agent.
Sporty greetings, Prince. Jean Didier Bagirisha is the vice president of the Rwanda Volleyball Federation in charge of operations. The Rwanda Investigation Bureau, or RIB, says he was arrested as part of an investigation to establish why the Federation fielded ineligible players. The RIB's announcement reads, Jean Didier Bagirisha is suspected of using forged documents in exercising his functions and duties. Investigations continue to establish the role of other Federation members. Sports experts who followed the 2021 African Volleyball Championship say that normally it's not a crime to field a player from another country as long as all the terms are respected. Sam Kalisa is a sports commentator with the Rwanda Broadcasting Agency on the microphone of VOA's Sunny Side of Sports.
Yeah, it's really not clear what really happened or what went wrong, because normally it is allowed to use players of other nationalities. Of course, it has to be some procedures that weren't followed in completing international transfer for a player to play for another country. Had it followed the right guidelines, I'm very sure that couldn't have happened, because it's something so doable.
For Brazilian players to play for Rwanda, they had to have not played for their country of origin, which also had to approve the transfer. There is also another official form from the World Federation that should have been filled out thoroughly. And finally, the International Federation should have given Rwanda a green light. Four players in question are right attack Aline Siqueira, center Apolinario Caroline Taina, setter Mariana da Silva, and left attack Morella Bianca Gomez. Sam Kalisa says that for his country, the host of a CAFB 21 tournament, to make such a mistake is a shame. And he says it's disappointing because other aspects of the tournament were catered for, including making sure that the competition started and finished without anyone contracting COVID-19.
Regarding Rwanda's disqualification, of course, as a host country, it was sad news to every Rwandan. It was sad news to everyone hearing that a host country, a country that was really performing great like Rwanda in the tournament, has been disqualified. It was really something bad. I can say it's shame. It's shame. And of course, everyone behind it has to be questioned and give out the reason as to why it happened.
Political expert Oswald Mutayezo told VOA that this scandal should send a crystal clear message that the country should develop its own talents. He says that for him, this scandal is a good thing in one way. It highlights the gap in human capital development. He says Rwanda has tall and talented women who can play volleyball and save the country from embarrassment. He says this incident should encourage the government to find a homegrown solution. The World Volleyball Federation says it is still investigating the matter. Volleyball fans worry that this could result in sanctions that could prohibit Rwanda from participating in international competitions for some time. For the Sunny Side of Sports, this is Eugene Uwimana in Kigali, Rwanda.
Thanks, Eugene, for that fantastic report. This is Prince Nesta in Nairobi, Kenya, and you're listening to the Sunny Side of Sports on the Voice of America. Turning to football, Uganda national team goalkeeper Daisy Nakaziro was a star player and won herself golden gloves at the recently concluded CECAFA regional meet while playing for Lady Doves. She helped them earn a third-place finish, conceding only 2 goals en route. She's consequently been summoned to the Crested Cranes, Uganda women national football team. Reporter Mugume Davis Wakirinji caught up with the rising talent from Kampala, Uganda. Sporty warm greetings to you, Mugume.
Sporty warm greetings to you too, Prince Nesta.
Hold on, Daisy. Yeah. Daisy, let's go. Okay, high ball, I give you the high ball, then you come and cut the ball, Eyes on the ball, focus on the ball, okay? Let's go up.
Back.
Well done. Back, Daisy. Higher, go high, well done.
Daisy Nakazilo, Uganda women football team, the Crested Cranes goalkeeper, trains under watchful eyes of the Crested Cranes goalkeeping coach, James Magara, at FIFA Technical Stadium, Njeru, Eastern Uganda, about 100 kilometers from the Ugandan capital, Kampala. Daisy guided Lady Doves, Uganda women's champions, to a third place finish in the Women's Champions League zone qualifiers in Nairobi, Kenya, earlier this month.
First of all, I want to thank God who made me to reach the success that I've got from the tournament where I were in Kenya, and the success I've got from the home league that I've won the Golden Gloves twice in 1 year. Yeah, and secondly, I want to thank my fellow players because I couldn't be one to make it, but we as a team worked as a team, and everyone was determined to make sure that at least we win every game.
The Lady Doves captain conceded just 2 goals in the tournament, including one in the 2-win against Tanzania's Simba Women Football Club for a third place finish. The tournament was won by home side Kenya's Figa Queens and became the first East African team to qualify for the inaugural CAF Women Champions League. The 2021 CAF Women's Champions League is the first edition of the Africa Women's Club Football Championship organized by the Confederation of African Football, or CAF, and will take place in Egypt. Teammate Fazila Ikwaput, whom we previously featured on the Sunday Side of Sports, was among the top scorers in the tournament with a respectable 5 goals to her name. Daisy had also, earlier on, won the Golden Gloves in the domestic league, having conceded only 3 goals in the entire tournament. Crested Cranes goalkeeping coach James Magala tells the Sunday Side of Sports that Daisy so much deserved the accolades.
She did well. She did everything correct. Yeah, she was perfect in terms of goalkeeping, goal understanding. She's very good in game reading, the way she handles the ball, the way she handles the crosses, the timing is very good. And now the way the distribution of the ball, in terms of when she start attacking, she's okay. One against one, she's okay. So in every area, she's doing well. Yeah.
As a little girl, little she know she'd play soccer, but rather enjoyed other games, mainly netball, which has actually helped her football career somehow.
At first, I never knew that I would be a goalkeeper first, but maybe my coach found a talent in me. And I was in senior one, that's where I started in goalkeeping. I grew up practicing, training harder, and he always advises me to focus and be determined. For me, I never knew that even girls play football. First of all, I was a netballer, and by the time I went to play, it was inter-houses games. Then coach showed me go to goal. As I knew the aerial balls, I know, yeah, they were much easier to me than the ground balls. So he decided to put me in goal. That's where I started playing as a goalkeeper.
The 24-year-old says she's inspired by former African Football of the Year, Uganda ex-international goalkeeper Dennis Onyango. She says she'll actually work even much harder so she becomes Uganda's first-choice goalkeeper. Daisy says she believes her generation will put Uganda football on the higher levels.
I'm proud that I'm summoned on the Crested Cranes Uganda national team, and I'm going to work hard and harder to see that even my team reach somewhere. Yeah, for us, we're having a talent, and everyone here, everyone in football, mainly young girls and us who are developing. Everyone is determined. That is, they try to give in what they can to achieve their best. And I think in coming years, or not more than 2 years, Uganda also will reach there on the global stage.
Deza says although female footballers are sometimes stigmatized in society for playing a game dominated by males, she's determined to make it to the very top. She also has some advice for other young girls aspiring to play football.
I pray to play professional football. Yeah, I pray to play professional football first. And I can't be there without performing. So I have first perform well. My last message to the young girls, I'm requesting them to first be disciplined, and secondly to work hard, and lastly mainly to believe in themselves that they can make it. However conditions, whatever things they are going through, they can believe that they can make it. Yeah.
For the Sunny Side of Sports, I am Mugume. Davis Rokaringi, Kampala, Uganda.
Let's go. One, better. Okay. Two, more than. Yeah. Three. One. Yeah, that's better. Good. Fantastic.
Thanks, Mugume. I'm Prince Nesta in Nairobi, Kenya, and you're listening to the Sunny Side of Sports on The Voice of America. Boxing legend Manny Pacquiao says that he will run for president of the Philippines next year. Pacquiao, one of the most decorated boxers of his generation, currently serves in his country's Senate. He leads a faction of the ruling PDP-Laban Party. Announcing his candidacy, Pacquiao said that he was ready to tackle corruption, accusing the administration of President Rodrigo Duterte of making corruption worse in the Philippines. VOA's Jackson Vunganyi spoke to reporter Stanley Gayete from Manila.
Philippine boxing icon and Senator Manny Pacman Pacquiao announced he will run for president in the 2022 national elections. This was after he accepted the nomination of his Laban Party at his national convention on Sunday. He said that the Philippine people have been waiting for a change of government under the Duterte administration. Pacquiao said that he is a fighter and will always be a fighter inside and outside the boxing ring. The 42-year-old lawmaker also emphasized that the Filipinos need a decent government to serve the people with integrity, compassion, and transparency. We all know that Pacquiao is a world boxing champion and the first boxer to win major world titles in 4 of the 8 glamour divisions, Jackson.
So Manny Pacquiao has been a senator. He has had some history in politics. How has he done so far? And what is it that he has done in his political career so far? Can give us a glimpse on how he would be able to govern as president if he were to be elected.
And actually, when Manny Pacquiao was still a lawmaker way back in 2010, when he started as being a congressman in his province, in Sarangani province, he's advocating for poverty, to fight poverty reduction and for people's rights, including the rights of the athletes. That's what he's campaigning for during that time. But
So he's campaigning on of poverty alleviation.
Yes, poverty alleviation.
What has been the reaction of people in the Philippines to at this announcement?
Well, of course, Jackson, it's a mixed reaction between supporters and those who critic Pacquiao. Of course, for those who support Pacquiao, they believe that Pacquiao can do more when he become the president sooner or later, because he is advocating for poverty reduction and alleviation. So they believe that as a president, as a national leader, he will always understand the needs of the people. But of course, for those who critic Pacquiao, they believe that you just need to focus in boxing, not in, you know, aiming for a higher position.
His supporters believe that he will bring the kind of energy that he had in the ring to politics, because sometimes politics can also be akin to boxing. What kind of relationship does he have with the current president Duterte?
Well, right now, Pacquiao and Senator Manny Pacquiao and Duterte has a clash. Pacquiao recently accused the administration of Duterte, his former ally, of making corruption worse in the Philippines, actually. And he warned politicians whom he holds responsible for corruption will soon end in jail together. So right now, there are, you know, rival parties. There's a faction between Duterte and Pacquiao. And Pacquiao believes that the International Criminal Court will lay down all of its cards so that Duterte, who is an advocate of war on drugs, if you know that, will go sooner or later to jail.
Now, the other important question that I wanted to ask you is, in terms of foreign policy, how would he be expected to differ with the current administration?
You know, Jackson, that's the question, because we all know that Pacquiao, even during his Senate, during many Senate sessions, he's not that a strong lawmaker when it comes to making decisions and even in foreign policies. But, you know, he has not yet shared his insights and perspectives, especially when it comes to foreign affairs and even to tackle issues when it comes to the South China Sea territorial dispute. He doesn't have any plans for now. But I believe that when the campaign starts next year, he will lay down. I believe Pacquiao is a great critic of China. That's why he has a clash between Duterte. He has a clash with Duterte because Duterte is a strong supporter of China.
Okay, so he differs with Duterte mainly on the issue of China.
Yes, he is always a critic of Duterte because he doesn't want China as an ally of the Philippines. He is always a supporter, actually, of the U.S. Pacquiao is providing and making strong pronouncement against Duterte about the Build program of China.
That was reporter Stanley Gaete speaking to VOA's Jackson Vunganyi from Manila about Filipino boxing legend Manny Pacquiao's bid for his country's presidency.
VOA's Our Voices television program is about more than just sitting and talking about women's issues. It's about listening to them and bringing their opinions to the table and making sure that their voices are heard. Because our lived experiences, our stories, and our voices will help shape the next generation.
Check your local TV listings and join the conversation each week with Our Voices on VOA.
I'm Prince Nesta, and you're listening to the Sunny Side of Sports on The Voice of America. I encourage our VOA listeners to check out the Sunny Side of Sports Facebook page. The address is facebook.com/VOA Sunny for more details on sports activities taking place around the world. The address once again is facebook.com/VOA Sunny. I caught up with the Kenya national men's basketball team point guard Victor Bosire here in Nairobi, and we had a chat regarding the state of basketball in the East African nation.
The standards of basketball in this country, your opinion on that? Because I'm looking at Kenya's performances, the men's team's performance during men's Afrobasket tournament, and, you know, we are seeing big moves as far as, you know, the Kenyan Lionesses team is concerned, where they are sending quite an inexperienced team, but they're still managing to pull out victories and stuff. Would you say things have changed? Kenyan basketball is actually on the rise?
I would say yes and no, but I'll explain. I would say yes because of the performances that we're currently having, both for the men and the women, and also the believability that these performances are giving to the younger generation and the guys back home, that we can also do it. That is the only reason I can give it a yes. But I will say absolutely no, because whatever that is happening, I don't see it as sustainable. As you mentioned, the North African teams, mentioned Angola, mentioned Mozambique, they have something sustainable. They have something to look out to for the next like 20 or 30 years. We don't really have something to look out to. And I'll say kudos to this current ladies team. Kudos to this current men's team. We didn't have really good structures of transition. but they've actually come in, replaced, I would say, better teams, because the team that was there, the ladies team that was there before this team was actually a better team, but they're performing even better than them. The men's team that was there before us, in terms of talent, in terms of everything, was way, way, way better. But we're actually trying to perform better than them. You get? So this is what is bringing believability. But I'll go back and say we need a sustainable structure. And a sustainable structure goes back home. It should not be brought by like foreign players. We have a team like, you know, I like giving a realistic examples. The first ranked team in Africa, which is Nigeria. But Nigeria is number one ranked team in Africa because of the fact that they are always bringing their foreign-based players. If you see the Olympics, they had players for the NBA, players from across Europe. They have players who play outside. But you see, I don't see that as sustainable. For example, we had the recent BAL tournament, which pits the African-based teams. The team that was representing Nigeria was nowhere to be seen. Once you take out those local players, they are not to be seen. You get? But you still had teams like Amuna Steel from Tunisia, teams like the Egyptian, the champions, Zamalek, teams who perform well at international level, but at the same time have proper structures at local level. We're in the same boat. We have very good foreign-based players. We have very good local-based players currently. But the only thing that can bring sustainability is having good structures locally. So that by the time you're naming your best team locally, when you're adding foreign-based players, they're just to improve the levels that you guys are. Not that the foreign-based players are coming to pick us from scratch. No, it doesn't work that way. You know, sometimes people don't like calling out the cancer because I think the biggest cancer in our basketball development is sponsorship. That is something people don't want to talk about. You cannot run a league when you have only like three or four teams out of your total league that are sponsored. The rest are self-sponsored or their school teams, either universities or... And right now, even having university because of COVID, you have universities like USA, you pull out from the league. They're not even currently in the league. So you cannot have a sustainable structure when even your first bit of being semi-professional as a league is not there. And it's only sponsorship that brings this thing. Our case study should not even be the US because that is not our league. The NBA is not our league. They are so much advanced. Let us have a case study of proper run African leagues like Egypt, like Angola, like Mozambique. You get things you can borrow up. And one thing we can borrow from all those teams, players there are well paid. Players there, the reward system is there. They're well motivated. And I'm not talking about only players. I'm talking about the entire system where I'm talking about players. I'm talking about referees. I'm talking about team managers. I'm talking about coaches. What enables you to bring out more coaches? What enables you to bring out more players? What enables you to bring out more referees into the game? It is good structures, and especially good structures locally. That is the only way you can improve the team. In the early 90s, we had the entire league being sponsored. We had Posta, Cooperative Bank, KCB, Kenya Ports Authority. The teams were Ulinzi. The teams were known as either corporates or a government parastatals. You get? So you are assured players will be paid well, railways, and also you are assured players will either be given jobs or paid well. Personally, when I joined the league in 2007, 2008, most of these teams were still sponsoring in the league. You had Posta, which had a team in the men's league. You had KCB, which had a team in the men's league. You had COP, which had a team in the men's league. And I'm saying all these teams right now don't even have a team. They don't. All these corporates pulled out. At that time, the league used to start. You don't know who will make the semis, and you don't know who will make the finals. And the league was that unpredictable. Right now, it's obvious. I'm not saying that because I play for Ulinzi. Ulinzi are the defending champs. We won 3 years in a row with KPA. But why did we win? Because they are the only sponsored teams. So most good players will go to these few teams.
Absolutely, absolutely. You raise very valid point. And indeed, corporates needs to step in and even government need to step in to finance basketball federations in Africa, especially Kenya being specific. Lastly, what would you like to tell the Kenyan Lionesses team as they play against the other teams in the competition? What would be your message to them?
I think my message will be very personal because I know most of those players personally, and most of them are my personal friends. And actually, most of them we train together. I will tell them, having played that competition, it is not a hard competition as we always project. It's a very easy and winnable competition. And we, the Lioness, have the talent necessary to win that tournament. It's just bringing their minds together and getting the best out of each and every individual. We have Coach Mayenga and Coach Opel in that, who can comfortably do that. My only message is that be your best. Win or lose with your best. You see, the way you walk out in a game and say, you with your head's eye, and say that I played my all. I gave it all. Once you do that, for me, the result doesn't matter. And if you do that, we'll be surprised of the results you're getting. Give it your best. Don't let the result judge you. Just give it your best.
That was Kenyan national men's basketball team point guard Victor Busiri. And he spoke to me from Nairobi, Kenya, regarding the state of basketball in the country.
VOA Africa has built a successful, effective social media strategy through Facebook, YouTube, Twitter, and other digital platforms. We are responding to our audience on the African continent and in the global diaspora. We believe in the power of connection and interaction to bring you news that is comprehensive, accurate, and objective. We see the changes in technology as an opportunity to engage with our audiences about the issues that affect them. At VOA Africa, we don't just report the news, we help shape the conversation on the continent. VOA, your trusted source for news and information.
This is Prince Nesta in Nairobi, Kenya, and you're listening to the Sunny Side of Sports on The Voice of America. Now to soccer. Algerian Riyad Mahrez scored twice, while Kevin De Bruyne, Phil Foden, Ferran Torres and Cole Palmer added a goal each to ensure Manchester City cruised into the League Cup fourth round with a 6-1 home win over Wycombe Wanderers. Belgian forward of Kenyan descent Divo Origi and Takumi Minamino recorded their names on the score sheet to help Liverpool secure a crucial 3-0 win at Norwich City. Championship side Stoke City also earned a 3-1 win against Premier League side Watford at Vicarage Road. Everton suffered an 8-7 drubbing in the hands of Championship side Queen's Park Rangers on post-match penalties. Southampton also brushed aside another Championship side, Sheffield United, 4-2 on post-match penalties, while Leeds United also advanced to the fourth round of the Carabao Cup after earning a 6-5 win against Fulham on post-match penalties following a goalless draw.
This is a message in the public interest from VOA Africa.
The World Health Organization and U.S. Centers for Disease Control say coughing and sneezing can spread COVID-19. Physical distancing, staying at least 1 meter away from people outside your family, can protect everyone. For more information, check with reliable sources such as the WHO and Africa CDC. And remember to listen to VOA for the latest on COVID-19.
That was a message in the public interest from VOA Africa.
And in boxing, super middleweight combatants Caleb Plant and Canelo Alvarez gave fans a preview of their November 6th fight when they took swings at each other Tuesday at a news conference in Los Angeles.
First off, all we was doing is staring at each other. He had something to say, I had something to say. He's going to beat me, I'm going to beat him. And then, you know, he did what he did, so you have to ask him that question.
Canelo, what would make you guys want to take swings at each other on just a face-off?
He can say whatever he wants to me, but not to my mom. Because I'm going to out everybody to say something to my mom. You know, and he swing freeze. I just push him, but he swing freeze. And just, I do what I do.
That was Caleb Plant, followed by Canelo Alvarez after security teams broke up their fight. The two continued their dispute verbally and had to be separated a second time. Fans should expect plenty of actions at their championship fight in November in Las Vegas, Nevada. And that wraps up the September 22nd edition of the Sunny Side of Sports. Thanks to Voice of America producer Mukbilia Baru. Thank you for tuning in. From Nairobi, Kenya, I'm Prince Nesta, sitting in for Sunny Young in Washington. And that's the Sunny Side of Sports.
I get it.